The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 8 and 16, and can be found in your pew Bible on page 956. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Over the past several weeks, we have looked at fear with respect to the Christmas story. The fear that Mary experienced when the angel appeared to her, the fear that Joseph experienced when an angel showed up meeting him, and also the fear the shepherds had when the angels came to them. Tonight, there's a different fear to look at altogether, and this one didn't have an angel appear to say there was not a reason to be afraid, because there actually was a reason to be afraid, and that was the fear that Herod experienced. A righteous fear, a fear that was just, a fear that was justified, and a fear that he needed to have. The reading from the NIV as we had it tonight talked about it, said he was furious, and you, when you get furious, there's something behind that. Most translations will work it along the lines, he was greatly disturbed. And then it says, and all Jerusalem with him. And this is a man who was disturbed in lots of ways. But he was even more disturbed at this particular point when he realized that he had been outsmarted by, go figure, wise men. But that's kind of the way that works. Fear is just an incredibly unique emotion. There are some of us that there are times that we like fear. We actually enjoy a little fear. Watching a scary movie, a fear that comes in extreme sports. Or fear like I like roller coasters, when you're not so sure how this ride is always going to end. Fear can be energizing, it can be a little bit exhilarating, but it can also be something that we hate and we really run from. We're afraid of things, and everyone has fears of different things, but when we look at fears, we tend to respond the same way with those fears. Snakes, it could be mice, it could be spiders, it could be clowns, it could be pastors that you're afraid of. It could be even more troublesome things. We fear a recession, or we fear loss of a loved one, or we fear the end times. And as we experience fears, we know what fear feels like. Have you ever heard of anyone that was afraid of Jesus? I mean, I that's one thing I really don't get so much, if somebody was to be afraid of Jesus. We hear about a fear of God, of God's retribution, maybe God's wrath for people that are not following, not listening, not doing what they should and are believers, but not too many people really talk about a fear of actually Jesus. And yet, in our text today, that's exactly what happens when King Herod realizes that he's been duped. He has a fear of a baby. Now, it's one thing to have a fear of Jesus, but now it's another thing to have a fear of an infant or a young child. And And really? Yeah. Now, there are some horror movies where they're kind of scary. I'll go back to that. But you know, beyond that, I've never really had fear of children. I've had fear of holding them because I don't want to drop them. Once in a while, fear of having them just eaten and recognizing that I'm patting them with my suit on. What could happen? A little fear there. But really, fear of a child, and in particularly, fear of a Christ child. See, the wise men were on a mission that was really to find this Christ. They believed in this Christ. There was no fear for them. They were going and they came across Herod, and Herod seemed to be legit. Herod wanted to know about this, but as it turns out, Herod ends up being greatly disturbed. And then again, as it noted, all Jerusalem with him. When the king is disturbed, the people under the king typically have a right to get disturbed too, especially for a king like Herod, who had already been somebody who had shown himself to be unstable and killing his own family members, in fact, even. Well, if he'll do that with family members, he'll do it with anyone. But he was disturbed. And really, I wanted to consider tonight some of the reasons why he was disturbed, why he had that fear. He certainly had a fear of his throne being threatened, because they're talking about this child being a king of the Jewish people and being of Jewish descent and being of the correct line. Herod knew by the prophecy that he was not. He was not of the correct line to be the true king. And not only that, he was only part Jewish, more so by religion than by true birth. And so he considered that this king that would be coming would not only be a king that would lay claim to his throne, but also would be, because he was truly Jewish, he would be a religious leader, which would give him even more authority as a king. And also, Herod being a ruthless person, he didn't want anybody to threaten his power, his opportunity to not just be king, but the control he had over the people. And again, going back to the idea that this would be not just a king, but a religious leader, he would assume all of the power, not just some of the power. He wouldn't have to deal like Herod probably did with the Pharisees and the scribes at different times, because he would have them all in his pocket if this were the case. And then there was this fear of actually unifying the Jews, because the Jews were very fragmented because of the way their leadership had been. There's also this balance of power between what Herod had and Rome. And there was another group entirely, the folks from an area called Parthia, that were very powerful. And if this Jewish leader came along and was a religious leader, he might unite them with this group from Parthia, and they could rival Rome. So there was a lot of reason for him to be afraid. But then for the people to be afraid. And their fear was justified too. It was a righteous fear for the people, because the people were disturbed as the king was disturbed. First recognizing, yes, our king's not so stable, and what might he do to us? But also recognizing the way the system was, the political and the religious leaders didn't have a really good track record with the people altogether, because they exerted their power, and when they exerted their power, it usually meant the suffering of the people. And so the people were afraid. But both the people and Herod really had it all wrong. And that's the unique aspect of the story that we come in on and are able to hold on to today, because here we have a king that is worried about his government and his throne, and we have a king that is being born that is not looking after that throne whatsoever. He's not coming to be that earthly ruler. In fact, he wasn't coming to seize the kingship of Herod at all. He didn't want his throne, he wanted his heart. He wasn't looking to take over his land. He was looking to come in and to deliver his people. He wanted Herod's heart, and he wanted him to have hope, if anything, as one who was in the Jewish family. Jesus came as the King of the Jews, but the Jews did not receive him. There was a reason for the fear for the people to be there if they would not receive this Christ, but if they would listen to the prophecy, if they would listen to the text, if they would have done something as simple as just read a couple of chapters out of Isaiah and the Psalms, it would have been all so clear who this Christ was, and watching him throughout his life, that this was the Christ. The one who came didn't come to rule a people and deliver them from Rome. He came to bring the people a kingdom, a new kingdom, and to be the kingdom of heaven on earth while he was here for them, to save them from their sins. He wasn't looking to be king of Judah, king of Israel, king of Jerusalem, king of Rome, or king of the world, but he became the king of the world for us. He was looking to become the king of our lives, the God of our lives, and to deliver us, not only the people then, but his people throughout all time. Jesus came to free us from our sin. He came to bring us hope and salvation. He came to give us life and the joy of living. And yet, there are still people that are afraid of Jesus today. As much as Jesus has shown himself to be the Lord of love and God of peace and the God of grace and mercy, there are still people afraid of Jesus. There are some people that are afraid of Jesus because they fear rejection in being in that relationship with Jesus. Because they see how people treat some Christians when they're trying to talk about Jesus. And they don't want to take on that kind of life where they're getting shut down for talking about what they believe. There are people who fear the truth. And following Jesus would mean having to bring out the truth that perhaps I'm not in so much control of my own life. And not only am I not in control of my life, but I actually happen to be a slave to sin. And if I have to accept Jesus, if I have to follow Jesus, I'm going to have to recognize that I'm imperfect, I'm insecure, I'm impure. And that means that I'm going to have to admit that I'm not able to make it on my own or do it on my own. And then there's folks that are afraid of change. And so they're afraid of Jesus because they know that accepting Jesus is going to mean changing their lifestyle, changing the way they live, the things they do, the way they act, the way they behave. And that's a lot to ask. I mean, if there's anybody who seems to have rejected change in this life, it's Lutherans. So I think we can talk about that pretty clearly. I mean, I've always said the only place Lutherans like change is in the offering plate. But along with lots of other jokes on that I won't share. But we don't like change. And so we can perhaps be some of the best witnesses for those that are afraid of those same things. Because we can talk about the fact that we've had to change, and we're not necessarily who we were when we were called by Christ. Now, some of us have grown up in the church. I was baptized when I was only 2 months old. Never have known a life without Christ. But I can still point to points in my life that were growth places in my relationship with the Lord, where I took on the faith as something more of my faith than the faith of the church or the faith of my family or the faith of those around me. And those were points of change. And others came into the church later in life. And you certainly know a different kind of change. Although even those growing up in the church, we were getting in just as much trouble. We were just doing it and expecting to get forgiven for it on Sunday morning. Well, And we realize that's not the way we're supposed to live too. We've experienced change in our life as Christians. And we need to express that to the world out there. We've experienced, yes, fear of rejection as Christians. And we've experienced fear of accepting the truth that no, on our own, we can't do it. We can't earn eternal life. And we can't improve our place in the glories of heaven. And we can't say that we've made it on our own. Not if we're Christians. We recognize that God is behind everything good, and certainly behind us as His children. And that gives us a great opportunity to be able to share with everyone else. Their weaknesses are no different than the weaknesses we've experienced. We've had fear of being children of God. But we haven't had to be afraid of Jesus. And that's what we can share with others too. There is no reason to be afraid of this Savior. There is no reason to ever be afraid of Christ. We have a fear and respect and awesome awe of God and what He is able to do and what He has done and what He is still going to be doing. But we are not going to be afraid of a Savior who comes to love us, comes to forgive us when we didn't deserve it, and comes to promise us a glorious life in heaven just for loving and following Him. That's a fear that we never have to lay claim to. And because of our knowledge of Christ, we can share with the world around us that they never have to lay claim to that fear either. They can let go of that concept of being afraid and just come to Jesus. Herod was afraid. And it cost him, in time, his life, as well as the lives of lots of his kinfolk. The people that God came to save, the Jewish nation, many of them continue to be in fear of the idea that there would be something different. And they didn't accept Jesus because He brought them something different. And we're thankful for those that have changed, the Messianic Jews of today that believe in Jesus and celebrate Him. And they're still witnessing to those that don't have that Christian faith. And we can probably recognize those in our lives that we could be witnessing to that don't have that Christian faith, or that we're not sure of. And hopefully, we will do so without fear. Not being afraid of rejection, not being afraid of our change or their change, but recognizing the hope that has been given to us is a hope that we should desire to share with all the world. If we're firm in our faith, there is not a reason to fear. If we are accepting of our place before Jesus as being sinners in need of a Savior, and knowing that Jesus is the one who saves, there's no reason to worry. If we know that we need Jesus in our life, then we never have to be afraid, because He will always be there for us. As the angel said to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, don't be afraid. I can pass along to you still tonight. Don't be afraid of being the Christian you were called to be. Don't be afraid of being the child of God that He desires you to be out in this world. And don't be afraid to live as a Christian and to show the world who you are as a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives, always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.